This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We are doing a holiday party this Sunday on Zoom. We are so excited to see you all there.
Let's bring in the season, right? You guys, we are like just looking to party with you, our listeners, who we love so much. We're super excited. We're going to have a signature cocktail and a signature mocktail so that you can make yourself a little drink before the show. Look out on our social. We're going to post a recipe for that so that we can all cheers together. And man, am I excited for this lineup.
Yeah, we've got Naomi Epkarigan. We've got Aaron Lampart is going to come on and do an amazing bit for us. Resident hunk Ryan Nemeth is back, per usual. You know how much we love him.
We're going to have carols. We're just so excited to ring in the holiday season with you guys. It's been a hard year for all of us. So come hang out, have some fun with us. The show is this Sunday, December 6th. It's 6 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. or sorry, 6 p.m. 9. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern. And you can get tickets right now if you go to tinyurl.com/L2L holiday party. That is posted on our Instagram link, on our Twitter. You can find the link there. Also, if you're a Patreon member, you get a special discount code. So go to patreon.com/ladytolady to find out your discount there. And we're just super excited to see you guys and have a great little holiday party together. Dress up, too.
We're all going
to
be wear something festive. Wear something festive. Park in front of your tree. We're going to have a great time. We can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah.
On to the show.
I'm Babs Gray, and I must say, I'm doing the transition from slut to aunt with grace.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm Brandi Posey, and it's not the most important thing, but Hannibal Lecter was also a bad psychiatrist. We never talk about that.
That's true.
I'm Tess Barker, and sucks that shit sucks. Am I right?
And this is Lady to Lady.
Oh. That's okay. Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Ba-dum-bum.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the show. Laura, our guest today is Laura Keitlinger. She's the shit. Do you have a joke for us?
Oh,
it seemed like you had a bit ready to go.
Something from my act. I'll
please.
Do something that
absolutely.
Really,
I love
that
it.
Usually upsets people. I've had two abortions, and it's true what they say. It's hard to outlive your kids.
Oh my God.
Then I
said,
I usually say, well, no, actually, I just had one and I did it online. I'm still waiting for results, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you're amazing. Thank you so much for coming in the show. Laura
I'm so glad to be here.
You know her from, she wrote for Roseanne, Will and Grace, her show, The Minor Accomplishments of Jackie Woodman, and she was on Pen 15 in the first season. So, Laura Keitlinger, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All the way from whatever, you know, fucking hell we're all in, all tuning in from, all of our own personal hells that we're tuning in from. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're making it happen.
I see behind you, you've got a green wall with like a, what is it called? A gallery wall. This is like my ideal. I want to do something like this in my home, but I'm so bad at it that I can't pull this off.
You can. I'll tell you what the color is. It's called Cat's Eye Green.
Ooh, I love this.
Perfect for a cat lady.
Yep.
And just like you can see the frames are all different. It doesn't really matter. And I just hung up some artwork. I've got artwork from NIAID. Do you know about that?
No. What's that?
Oh, it's amazing. It's NIAID. They're disabled artists and they're all incredible. Ooh. And when you buy a piece from them, the money goes to you know, their paintbrushes and all the tools that they need to keep creating. And also, you know, and I think they have like a, you know, a lunch and everything there. So that some of the artists, you know, can eat and whatever and enjoy themselves and have like, you know, kind of a social gathering while they work on stuff. So I've got Naiad art and I've got, that's Travis Millard. I don't know if you can see that. Mm-hmm. It's a cartoon dog who says, all I want to do is bark, bark, bark. I don't give a shit. I just want to bark.
that's a good dog. Good boy.
I know.
Accurate.
I know. And we were hoping to get something going with that, with this company, Titmouse, because we wanted to do an animated garage band of dogs. But
that would be so fun.
I know. Wouldn't it be cute? And so, and that's about it. And I've got, you know, a couple of, a couple of Will and Grace photos and, you know, and just all my awards and, you know.
Good. That's what I was really saying. I'm trying to get that.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. I don't have any awards yet, but I'm building the shelves just in anticipation.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
That's nice. You mean like a job? I'd like a writing job. That's what I'm working for.
That'd be a great award. Yeah.
To frame a paycheck on the wall after I cash it. That would be nice.
You know, I think I've talked about it on here before, but in junior high, I was like extremely, extremely competitive with speech.
Oh, really?
Very. Yeah. And I was very good and I got trophies every meet I went to.
That's amazing.
It's the one thing in my mom's house that like I can't, my mom has this like room of my old trophies that I just like emotionally can't part with. It's the weirdest thing. Like so I think I need to make something functional out of them. Like I think I need to make like a trophy TV case.
Oh, that would be cool.
Maybe you can make a chandelier or something.
Right? Yeah. Like shellac them into a side table or something. That would be neat.
You know, and I think it's nice even to have your, I have my, you probably can't see it, but I have my first shit list on my wall.
Ooh. Yeah.
And, like in third grade. And they all have fart names like Kelly Fartson and all this other stuff. And it's nice to like to say, to have things from when you were a kid to say, oh, okay, so that's, where
to,
you know, that's
where
what I've turned into. Yeah, that's
where it's been. I think it's nice to have like a reminder of your seed.
Yeah,
I love that. My favorite trophy story. There's an episode of Forensic Files where a cop killed his family and burned the house down around them, but he got caught because he took all of his bowling trophies out of the house because he couldn't bear to lose his bowling trophies in his insurance scam.
And they're amazing.
It's obviously so useless to anyone else except for this man.
Exactly.
That's the deep question. What matters in your life?
Exactly. Like all the
and it happens to be trophies.
All the detectives that they like interview are just like, it shouldn't have been this easy to catch this guy.
Right, because they're not really like portable as far as objects go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he like puts them back in the garage, but like all this other stuff around them is burnt. But it's just these completely untouched trophies.
Oh, he put them back? He didn't just take them?
He put them like in a corner of his garage, but clearly after it had been through fire because they would have melted and stuff.
Okay. You know what? I mean, I'm on this man's side. Clearly bowling was the only thing he was good at.
Right.
Well, it'd be tough with millennials since we all get so many participation trophies, you know.
Dude, I've been trying to write a joke about this because, like, I hate that whole stereotype because as a kid who was trophy obsessed, if you gave me a participation trophy, I would throw it in the garbage. I hated participation trophies. Like, there's nothing more insulting than getting a fucking we're kids. We're not dumb. We know this is meaningless.
Yeah, we understand. It's fine. Yeah. Call me most improved. You know, if you're going to lie to me,
Give me something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if those are real. Yeah. I guess
like you're alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 You've participated in society.
You're not a hologram. You exist.
Wow. I mean, have you guys ever gotten like an honorable mention?
Yeah, they would do that. On swim team, they would do that. Everybody, they gave like all like the, at the end of the year, they gave out all like the people who broke records and then everybody else got like a tiny ribbon and none of us wanted it. We're all like, we don't need that.
You didn't want it.
We don't.
I don't think
that.
Anyone would dare give me an honorable mention. You either give me the main prize or give me nothing so I can be a bitch about it. I'm not taking that.
I'm so much older than you guys. I was in a slow class in second grade. Like they called it slow class.
Really?
Never happened today.
No.
And I mean, now I was looking like what it would be called, like gaining momentum or building a better something
Foundations.
Just because you can't be in the slow class. But I was.
Yeah, in the you're alive class. You exist class.
Yeah. And I loved it. I really excelled. Mm-hmm. I was like, I did great. I got back into the regular, just average third grade, but I did so well in the slow class.
I like it. At what age do you guys think the trophies become awards? Because we don't call it like an Oscar trophy, but it would be funny if we did.
We should, because then it would like kind of minimize the importance of it, or, you know, just make it so much less. Yeah. I like your trophy for best actor.
Yeah. Oh, are those your acting trophies?
Yeah. Oh. That's what it should be. Oh,
let's take
God,
it back.
That's a good, that is a good question, Brandy. What are you, maybe 8, let's see, 20?
Yeah,
18 or 20.
Yeah,
but then it goes back to but then when you're winning bowling trophies, I guess like 60 and up, it goes back to trophy, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then we've got medals in the mix, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and then there's like the Heisman Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh right.
Oh yeah, they do call it a trophy.
Well, I think the actual thing is called a trophy, isn't it? Or I guess it's called like a statue.
Oscar, or a statuette. Which is really like assuming of them. Like they're not statues, those trophies.
Yeah.
And I think usually trophies are sports related, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's where the line occurs.
Unless it's a wife, am I right?
Hey, this is my award wife.
Yeah. That's right.
I meddled in this wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I was listening to some podcaster. I never remember where I hear shit, but apparently they did like a study, and people who win silver medals are far more unhappy than people who win bronze medals. Because
they're so close.
When
to
you're
the
so
top.
Close, yeah. Whereas the person that wins bronze is just like, dude, I medaled. That's pretty.
That's
cool.
That's why I'm saying I'm like, give me the gold or don't give me nothing.
Right. But do you think you could handle a bronze?
No. I guess it depends on what perks come along with it.
I guess if there was like a day for bronze winners of the bronze, that would be another stab to the people who win silver.
That's true.
Like we're celebrating bronze, the third place.
Yeah.
The bronze parade?
Yeah.
I was watching, Netflix has this new show called We Are the Champions, and it's like they kind of observe different championships around the world. And they had the world's hottest pepper eating contest.
Oh, I would like to do that.
Well, yeah. The Carolina Reaper is the hottest, pepper on record. Mm-hmm. And so like a jalapeno, I'm going to fuck this up, but a jalapeno has like 3,000, whatever the fuck you call it, of
gigawatts,
you know,
let's say.
Hotness, gigawatts.
Yeah.
And the Carolina Reaper has like 3 million or something.
Wow. Wow.
It was just crazy to watch these people ingest them and be like, what is going to happen to your buttholes? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's
the thing.
What happens to everyone at the end of this?
Did any of you guys ever do Hot News in Portland, that web series?
No, you eat a pepper and then talk about
They stuff? Give you, it was an old like YouTube series they did where I shot it at Bridgetown for one of the old festivals, and like, it was spicy interviews, just spicy news, where they gave two peoples, me and Joanne Schinderly, they gave us each a habanero pepper, and you have to eat it, and then you have to like wait 30 seconds, and then they record like a 10-minute interview where you ask each other these questions and answer questions back and forth. Horrifying, horrible. And then they gave you a tub of ice cream afterwards that you're just like gargling in the back of your throat. Because it's like the hot is like down in a place you can't get to.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And like doing it was rough. But then like later I had shows, and you should not have to do it on a day that you have shows.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, please.
That seems like they should have provided you with some kind of medical support or something afterwards.
They should have. It like changed my taste buds for a while. Like I couldn't eat anything spicy for like months.
Oof. God, nerves alone, I think would be enough. And then on top of that, to do a show.
Oh,
I used this friend of mine and I, when we were in Boston doing stand up, we would if we went to the ladies' room, they said, "There's no toilet paper. Are you going on next?" Because one of us would ultimately get so nervous that we'd be, you know,
the pre-show shit, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
We need that more than we need bottled water. Please make sure the bathrooms are stocked.
Yeah. I will say that is the only good thing to doing shows from Zoom at home is that I know that I'm dealing with a good bathroom situation.
Oh, that is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the silver lining.
Have you guys been doing a lot of, I know you've been, that your show that you're doing now is it's a good show and a big success. Have you guys been doing stand up also on Zoom and all that stuff?
Yeah, I've done a pretty good amount. I was doing like my Instagram show, whatever, is ending, but we were doing it every single night, like on Instagram Live and then Zoom.
Oh, wow.
And then Zoom shows like this. Mm-hmm. I've actually been really having fun with them because it's a fun way to kind of experiment since everything's in this little box. You can kind of do some weird stuff physically, mm-hmm. you know, that you can't really do.
In person.
I have this bit where it's really idiotic, but I draw faces all over my body and then do a one person rent. And it's a lot easier to see the faces when the camera's right here. So everyone got to see my full ass with a face painted on it. It would have been a lot harder to see.
What song did you have your ass to?
To the song Rent from, you know, with all the characters, because it's kind of a good amount of people to break out. And then Benny comes in the middle and he's the ass, you know. So it's been fun to kind of experiment with different things, I think, over Zoom. Obviously, you're dealing with a complete different like energy field as far as the audience goes, but
yeah,
it's been interesting.
Totally different thing. You just can't expect it to be regular stand-up.
What about you, Laura? Have you done any of them?
No, this is the I was so nervous just about talking to you guys because I really haven't done anything. I was busy having a brain aneurysm in August, and I've been absolutely nothing but kind of laying around.
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck? You're so fucking lazy. I'm just
kidding. I know. I thought to myself, like, even with this shit, I should be because of all this time, I should know another language or something, or try and
right. Something. We all have that pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, God, I'm sorry that I can't believe you've been going through that. That's insane. Like, I think you get an extra break to not have to do anything. So.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
It's a weird pressure we put on ourselves to, like, I've been doing it too. I'm like constantly sitting here being like, I need to like be getting things done or like do something better with my life. And then I'm like, no, I'm just going to watch 10 more hours of TV.
And I think it's a good time to be honest with yourself because it's like if you're not doing mm-hmm. something now, you're never going to. So like, you know, I'm going to throw away my surfboard. I'm going to throw away my chessboard. I'm never going to get to those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way to be. It's a good time to be really take a real honest look at yourself and figure out like what is and isn't important.
I am getting like I just booked my first session with like an actual Spanish tutor, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You've been keeping up with it a lot, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been pretty religious. It's something that's for whatever reason, like grounds me in my day. Like I find it comforting just to like, focus on like how to say I'm going to email the manager. Like that just like.
Yeah.
Let's hear it, Jeff.
Oh my God.
Let's hear it.
La Karina, tell us how you say it.
voy a enviar un email al gerente.
There
that
you
sounds
go.
Great.
Gracias.
I don't know what the fuck you said, but it sounds right to me.
I'm going to email the manager.
Great. And then I got so then I'm taking it to the next level and I booked like an in-person tutor who I'm going to talk to once a week.
That's awesome.
It's just nice to have a pen pal.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. I haven't done something like that since like high school where you'd have to sit and exchange, you know, do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there weren't a tutor, but like someone in your class where you had to like practice with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I find like trying to. God damn it, Garth. Sorry, guys. Shh.
Garth, the Chihuahua knows we're podcasting. He's like, I'm also learning Spanish.
Seriously.
I've got a Chihuahua too. He's
you
right
do?
Over
Aww.
Yeah, he's asleep over there for some reason.
Is he a motherfucker when you're trying to record?
Well, no, he's just he is incredibly loud though. I wonder if it's small dogs. Small dogs just seem to be so damn loud.
Oh, yeah, that must be some kind of like an evolutionary thing that used to protect them when they were wolves or something.
Yeah, little wee men. Well, like my Jack is like part Chihuahua now, which I've just learned through a DNA thing. And I'm like, oh no, a lot of your characteristics make sense. Like you're a little motherfucker. The little wee men. They're like, I was bred to keep an emperor warm and then they ate me. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they were bred for?
Yeah, they're supposed to be, they were bred to be like little like warmers next to your body while you were sleeping.
Wow. And that's what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. They've remained on brand all these years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't exactly know how do you breed a dog to do something like that? Like, how do you just like keep put the ones that like being next to a person while they're sleeping? Like, they're the ones that you keep.
Like, do you even need to breed them for that? Don't you just put them near a person and it's like they're warm, yeah, they're giving you food, they'll just stay there?
I don't know.
I feel like wherever the food is where they end up. So you probably just get a halo of biscuits around their head or something and then you're fine.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not an animal husbandry. Why is it called husbandry?
I hate that. I've always hated that.
Yeah. Wait, what is that? The training person?
No, that's the breeding.
It's like when
right?
we started living with animals.
Yeah.
We call it husbandry.
Yeah. Wait, it's the breeding or the living with?
Both. I mean, like when agriculture happened, that's like people took on husbandry.
That makes sense because then it was like, that's when women were like, okay, I own you now. You're my wife. So let's name it husbandry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like little dogs walking up like, look at the collar that he bought me. Oh, my God.
Wait, speaking of women being property, before we were recording, Laura, you said your Twitter handle is King Keitlinger because you had learned about female kings.
Yes. And now I can't remember even where they were. I think maybe.
But is there a distinction? Like, it wasn't like they were queens, but they were female kings.
No, they're kings. And I think they were. Possibly,
I'm doing a little Google.
May
here.
Have been like in Africa, or I can't remember where they were. It was like an article I read one night, and I was like, "Oh, that's so amazing!" And there were photos of them, and I don't know. I can't remember where they were. We'll have to look up or ask people where their female came.
I mean, it kind of makes sense because just like as someone who just binge watched The Crown, mm-hmm. The queen like replaced her dad, who was the king. But I feel like the queen has way more shit they have to worry about than the king. Like there's way more image stuff. You're obviously in like way. The clothing's way more complicated. They're not exactly equal jobs, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
You think the king has less because he doesn't have to seem as proper as the queen does?
Kind of, or like I think he has to seem as proper, but it's kind of like it's almost like that thing that all women deal with, where it's like the queen has to worry about being likable, whereas the king doesn't.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
And certainly, the Princess of Wales had her own bag of issues. It's crazy, like watching because I mean I remember Princess Diana when I was a kid, but I didn't realize like how bad their marriage. Like I knew they had a shitty marriage, but like I didn't realize that they like never loved each other.
Oh, I know. I didn't either. I thought they loved each other in the beginning.
Me too. I sort of hoped that they at least got a couple good screws in before it all went down, you know?
Yeah, I think you're kind of like, when I was younger, I think I thought that as well. And I don't know. Some people are saying that they should consider The Crown like an act of fiction or something because of this season. So I don't know. But yeah, it doesn't seem like, I mean, I guess that was kind of par for the course for a lot of royal marriages, though. It's not for love by any means.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
You know what, too? Like, I kind of felt a little bad for Charles because his true love was Camilla and he wasn't, you know, allowed to be with her when he was young.
You know? Oh, 100%. And, like, I always remember Camilla just viewed through, like, whatever gossip magazines used to write about her. So she was almost like a Yoko Ono in that narrative to me.
Oh,
like, she was this really
yeah.
vilified. And it's like, oh, she had the love of her life ripped away from her by his mom.
That shit's so weird because who gives a fuck? You know, that's I've watched the first season of The Crown and like watching royalty shit makes me feel so weird because I'm just like, I have like zero American pride, but this gives me just a tiny inkling of it because at least we aren't like, oh my God, the society will fall apart if you get married a divorced person. Yes. Oh, my stars and garters. Who gives a fuck? Really? Yeah. Oh, man, it just makes me feel insane whenever I watch it.
It's very weird to watch these very old, and it's just also like,
who cares?
Everything they do has to be so, proper and like Exact. Yeah. And the way you like walk into a room or greet someone or like sit or eat your dinner, you know, someone's going to like gossip about you afterwards.
I actually stopped watching The Crown because of the stag, because the first, you know, I don't know if you guys remember in the first episode, yeah, they're killing the stag. Mm. And so I couldn't watch it.
Oh, wait, is that in the first episode of the first season?
Yeah. No, of this most recent season.
Okay, because I was going to say that happens again in this season. Okay, yeah. Mm. Oh, no, it was really disturbing.
Yeah, and I just, because I think hunters are such cowards, and just made me angry that now there are two families after this one deer.
It was a gross, I mean, it was, you know, I got the like symbolism and stuff. I'm glad it was a CGI deer. But
yeah, it was. I know.
But it was still. You don't really like want to watch that.
What made it disturbing was the scene where you saw the deer in the woods injured. Yeah. It like became a character. Exactly. I hated it.
And then when it coughed into its hoof.
And it had tuberculosis, and you're like, oh my god, this poor deer.
Not really, is it? The Bambi.
All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Bambi.
Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Laura Keitlinger.
Hey!
Thanks for braving Zoom for us.
I'm so glad. I feel like I haven't actually spoken to a person in months other than my husband. And we're like walking around in our pajamas. And he always has his AirPods in his ears. And so... sometimes he'll just start, it's like seeing somebody in their pajamas laughing at nothing. And I'm in bed, you know, watching TV in my pajamas. It's like, you know, we're in a sanitarium just bumping into each other in the hall, like two just nuts.
It really, yeah. I think for people who are cohabitating, you know, I think a lot of people have started to enter the Grey Gardens phase.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of shuffling.
Shuffling, absolutely. That's exactly it.
My boyfriend, I keep telling him he needs to watch Grey Gardens, and then I saw that he'd watched some of it on, you know, HBO or whatever. And I was like, oh my god, did you watch it? And he's like, yeah, it was a lot of talking. And I'm like,
so listen to what they're saying. It's perfect.
And I was like, and
it's so hard. Let me tell you, it is just really being a straight woman. It's really hard being with a straight guy. That's when you're like, what do you mean? You didn't like Grey Gardens?
Yeah, I just can't. Like, I'm like, I don't understand.
It's like every time I see Cats on demand, I just want to eat a bunch of edibles and watch Cats with Sean, but he won't understand why it's funny.
Oh, damn. I think he would. Garrett and I started to watch it and said, let's wait and do edibles and watch it. We actually said that. We can tell that it's going to be terrible and we need to be stoned.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly.
That's so funny.
If they have the gall to put that movie out, they should send every household a packet of edibles so that they can enjoy it.
Well, exactly. Okay. We've texted about this a little bit, Tess, but while we're on the subject, I just need to make a stand right now. James Corden needs to get the fuck away from every musical. Why is he in every musical ever made? I don't want to see his face. I don't want to hear him sing. If I can write on his show, great. But don't be in anything ever again.
Well, you know, we could do, maybe we should have a list called Let Us Miss You.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I feel that way about a few actors.
Yeah, he's just being shoved down our throat in every fucking musical. And I just am like, I don't want to see you anymore.
And it's so obnoxious because like there's no dearth of talented men in American musical theater. Like of all the British imports, we don't need James Corden.
No. And like that prom, the prom like preview got me really excited, but then he's got a pop up in there and I'm like, God, you motherfucker, I can't get away from you.
He's in. I think like if you're gonna make a musical in America, you're contractually obligated to cast James Corden.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm taking my stand. Yeah. We gotta stop using that contract. I mean, I haven't seen any of these musicals, and I agree. he just shouldn't be in anything, period.
I mean, I'm still just bitter that they gave him a TV show when there was so many fucking, you know, women or people of color or somebody that like anyone knew here in America, and they just gave this fucking dude none of us had heard of a late night show.
I think it's like we have some sort of a hard-on for an English accent because, I felt the same way about the guy. Now I'm, but I think he's actually funny, but I'm spacing on his name that gave him a show. The guy...
Craig Ferguson? I mean, he is funny.
Yeah, but no, the other guy, he's on HBO, I think.
John Oliver?
Yeah.
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 Well, I think it's we've become so disgusted with America that we can't even like stomach news unless it has an accent.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And like if it's not coming from us, it might be true.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of where we are as a nation is, we can't trust the food in our own kitchen. But also, like, meanwhile, Britain is also on fire. Like, they're not doing really any better than us.
No, right. they're really not.
But the grass is always greener on the other talk show hosts, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is I was talking to Anna's boyfriend. He went to school for linguistics, and I didn't realize this, but American we're the only country that doesn't have like an upper class accent. Like in Britain, there's like an upper class British accent, and it's based by class. Over here, it's just completely regional. Like there isn't like an accent that we hear and is this like, oh, that means you're from money. It's like that doesn't exist here. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I had to choose one, though, what would it be?
I think I would like a Southern accent. I feel like those give you a lot of character.
Prestige?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty
it's
fun.
Not the Boston accent, I'll tell you that much.
No.
I love a Boston accent.
Do you?
Casey Affleck doing an accent, doing that commercial for SNL was about the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. It was a commercial for Dunkin' Donuts, and you have to see it. It's Casey Affleck, and he's so funny in it. But his accent is so strong and right on.
I mean, I like to listen to a Boston accent. I think Southern gets you a lot of different ways because you get soulful, you know. But like, some of the best comics, you know, are like they just have that extra thing because of that accent, you know. Too.
Well, it's very like warm and disarming. Like, I turn it up a little bit whenever I like kind of need to get something from like
definitely
a person.
I'll drop a y'all.
Yeah, and think about. Bush Jr. who is from Connecticut and kind of gave a kind of a y'all every once in a while to make him seem like he's just like the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a multimillionaire. It's just y'all. Yeah. You know, we need
Didn't
to you
own
folks.
A base. We all have owned baseball teams that we right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Y'all ever notice how your baseball team didn't make you $10 million?
What do we need to own, all of us?
She. Y'all,
we need to own something. There's no reason for people to be broke or poor. Or we can all just own another.
Yeah, we can all
pull yourself up by your own baseball team, y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all ever forget to buy like one of your dad's Secret Service guys a Christmas present, but you get shit.
Well, Dewey, what is being in the Secret Service like? What is that?
My next door neighbor growing up was a Secret Service guy.
Really?
From who?
Yeah. I'm from in Maryland, or like right by DC. It's you. There's like internal things of like, you know how to protect the president. You get all the threats that come that way. You do that. You also just like spend your whole life knowing that you have to take a bullet for this person if something were to happen. And that man's fence was very white because he painted it constantly, and then his wife and kids left him. So
That's where he took out all of his aggro, was on the white fence.
He just was constantly cleaning it and repainting it. It was just perfect. It was a perfect white picket fence. You could tell it was just a very intense American Beauty thing happening next to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's was a hell of a thing.
Something sort of Tom Sawyer about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such an intense thing to go into because, you know, when you like watch movies, like a super hero movie, and there's all the henchmen for the bad guy that get killed. Yeah. That's where you're signing up to be a henchman, a nameless, faceless henchman. Who like runs after the Joker and gets thrown into a pile of other people.
I have to tell you, my entire life, my entire understanding of Secret Service and that kind of people is going to basically be rooted in the movie The Bodyguard.
Okay.
I'm going to expect them to fall in love. I'm picturing Kevin Costner.
Oh, I mean, Trump's definitely fucking his Secret Service. So,
hello. Talk about people who have senioritis. Those guys have to be like so 1 foot out the door. Can you imagine having to lay down your life for that guy?
No, how embarrassing.
Yeah. It's a hard, it's the job dependent, and like you stay through multiple administrations. So it's like, you hope you like this person. Ugh.
I wasn't protecting him. I was in the wings shaking my head at the stupid shit he was saying. So I wasn't there.
I forgot to jump in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I remember reading a story early on about how he also has private security that were butting heads with Secret Service because they weren't doing like Secret Service protocol. And the Secret Service was like, we have like a way that we do this. We haven't lost a president since JFK, we know how to do this. Please get out of the way. And they were,
I just feel like his requests have to be like, you're not just being the Secret Service man. You also have to like get him a squatty potty whenever he wants it or whatever the fuck.
Oh, for sure.
That man absolutely has a squatty potty.
Yeah. Well, when he's not using a diaper. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like they had that when he was going around the hospital, he had Secret Service in the car with him and shit, even though he had COVID. It's like there was that statistic or that, 1,300 Secret Servicemen have COVID because of him a couple weeks ago, a month or two ago.
Holy shit, I didn't hear that.
I will say I didn't realize there were 1,300 people in the Secret Service.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, because don't they protect old presidents too?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think like all the people who've ever been president get a Secret Service.
And I guess probably the vice presidents too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like the kids to a certain point, like, yeah, it's a whole. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 130 Secret Servicemen out of 1,300 total.
And what about their trophies? Who protects their trophies?
Right.
This is a good question.
Before, man, it's kind of outrageous.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, my next door neighbor was a hell of a guy. He was just always really kept his place nice. Because I guess it's like when you're, when you know every day that you could die, you like want your house to be nice to come home to. Like it was like a very intense, like teeth gritted kind of guy. He wasn't really out very often because of that.
I get that. Yeah. I have a phobia of like if I'm writing something and it's a draft that's like kind of a mess, like if something if I died and someone found like a draft that was in progress. I do. That motivates me. I'll be like, I have to
that people are gonna read all of your documents
so.
On your computer?
I hope well, not all of them. I should label them.
Don't read these in case of death. Read these.
I have kind of a fantasy about that. That if I have an open coffin, that's kind of my dream to not be so, you know.
right. So yeah, it's goals. Goals. Open coffin goals.
I want to still be maybe in one piece that there's like a recording that says you could have done something. Everybody wants go ahead and blame yourself. Go ahead and blame. You could have done that.
I love you could have done. It's so perfect.
For everybody. If only I could have done that. You could have.
You could have. Yeah,
you could program, depending on who's walking up to the coffin, program, you know, like it's your fault or.
Yeah. Almost could like those little keychains they sell that are like fart noise machines. You could reprogram it with your voice.
Yeah. Right. That's great. Give it out afterwards. She wanted you to know.
Yeah, it's keepsake. All right, let's ask. We got a few questions. These are just jumping off points, Laura. Just to get to know you better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Among your friends, what are you best known for?
Oh, damn it! That's such a let's see. Probably being crazy about animals, I guess that would be it. I'm always like, sometimes I go out with other, cat ladies or whatever, if there's a cat. So I'm probably known for giving friends stray cats.
Oh, that's a great thing to be
known for. That is.
And also hated for, like, I've already got three and I can't.
How many cats do you have?
I have, right now I have three cats and dogs. But But also, you know, it's a friend of mine, her cat that I you know, rehoused with her or whatever, is 21. So she's going to have to, and the cat's going to have to she's made an appointment for the person, a person to come and put the cat down, to shoot it, actually, which is weird.
No. Oh my God.
Through the window.
Get a running start, buddy.
Sniper.
So that, but then she asked me and my husband Garrett, who's also a big animal lover, mm-hmm. and he rescues cats also, to go and be there with her. And I just thought, damn, I have to go through that pain too, but it's what I deserve for pushing this cat. But I'm right. glad I'm gonna be there though, because 21 is
wow.
Yeah. But what a loved animal though, to make it to 21 is like a triumph.
Yeah.
You know,
I even, when I was at Will and Grace, they called me Catlinger because I built these houses for all the stray cats. And it was funny because in 2007, during the writer's strike, I was, mm-hmm. you know, almost pretty much lost my house. And my mom said, can you move into one of those houses that you spent $30,000 on for the cats? Because they were really elaborate. They were on pillars, so the rats couldn't get in, but the cats could get in and eat and protect themselves.
See, why isn't the musical Cats about this? That's far more compelling.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
King about cat. Us having to move into the cat houses we made because we can't get any writing.
There's nowhere else to live and whatever.
And then the cats get to go inside and live by themselves, finally free of us.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you can play
I think we're gonna get a Christmas kitten. So,
oh really?
Fantastic.
Ooh. I'm pretty excited. Yeah, I mean, we have another cat, and he's very happy just being on his own. So I'm hoping that a younger cat will, you know, be the best move.
Yeah,
but call me Barbara. I'll get one.
I will. But my boyfriend is, you know, obsessed. So I think we're gonna do it. I'm excited though. It'll be fun to have a. You know, it's hard. It's scary because I don't want Archie, my cat, now to, like, obviously, every time he sees another cat with, like, he'll see one outside of our screen, he'll literally, like, ram the door.
You know what?
If he doesn't do that.
But if you look on the Catherine, Catherine Fund, Catherine Fund, I think it's CatherineFund.com. It's a friend of mine, and she has a cattery, so she could probably tell you what cat gets along with other cats and all that stuff. Babies and cool. She has kittens and everything.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's what I kind of been looking at. You know, when you look at their little profile, they say, like, what their interaction level is with other cats and stuff. But it'll be fun to have a little new guy for Christmas. I'm excited.
Little kitty.
Man. I need something to make me feel good, cat.
Yeah. It's either that or a tattoo. Just something to feel.
Just keep to feel anything.
Keep a camera on Archie all day on Christmas when you unbox a cat. I just want to see his indignant face.
I know. I wish we could. If we weren't in COVID, I would totally do the whole, like, cat in a box thing, but it's way too hard to pull off right now.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the cat in a box thing?
You know, where you just have them in a present, like giving them as a gift, actual gift.
Oh, gotcha.
Now, what do you recommend, all three of you, for, mm-hmm. I mean, just during this time, like, my friend Mary and I said, one of the things we have to stop doing is waking up and saying, what's the point? That's very counterproductive. What do you guys do, affirmations or anything? What do you do to...
Like I said, my Spanish has been really helpful to me. Like, I really enjoyed that because it just forces me to think about other shit. And I'm really obnoxious. I'm really into working out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, that gives me something to, like, do. And then, like, there's a natural, like, endorphins factor of it. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading a shitload of fiction. Those have been three. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I have fucking nothing. I don't know. I just wake up and hope that I'll survive the day. I mean, I have a lot of stuff to do. I've been, like, really getting into making crafts and stuff like that, but also I don't really know how good those are because they make me feel like I'm distracting from other things I should be doing, so they don't really make me feel good because I'm not good at them. So I don't know. I have no answer is my answer.
Yeah, I mean, been working out a lot too, which has been nice. And then I really like I don't take my phone on dog walks, so I'm, like, kind of, like, present for that. And, like, the weather's so nice in LA, and I really try to focus on, like, what we have here that, you know, makes it what we're going through so much easier in a lot of ways. I was like, driving calms me down a lot. So like I go for like long drives sometimes or just listen to like a new album. That's usually like how I'll break a new album in. That's always pretty good. Yeah, like reading. Also just giving myself a lot of patience right now to be like, this is like a weird off year. Like I'm really not too focused on much else other than just like the stuff that I haven't been able to do because I've been in and out of town so much before this. You know, the last few years I've just been traveling so much that it's been like, oh, cool. I'm okay with catching up on my sleep this year. Me and my roommate, we do a thing. We say happy second morning to each other after, because we wake up and we feed the pets and I walk Jack and then we have do a little bit of stuff. And then usually we go back to sleep for an hour or two at some point.
Oh, that's nice. I like a morning siesta.
Yeah, a morning siesta is great. And the day actually starts around 11, but I've already got some stuff done. So then it's like, oh, hey, happy second morning. And that's been delightful because then some of the time has passed.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's nice.
Do you like, Laura, do you like trashy reality TV?
No. I was going to say the only thing that makes me happy is pills.
I'm on antidepressants. Pills are the trashy TV for,
I'm on Lexapro and Dexedrine, and I don't know what I would do without those.
Oh, I mean,
Dexedrine, that's a speedy one, right?
Yeah.
I like that one, yeah.
I know, and I should be exercising, but I just, you know, it's sad. I've got a stationary bike right by my desk, and then I pile shit on the seat so that I can't actually get on it.
Isn't it funny how we just subconsciously do that to our exercise equipment? It's like your brain just being like, if I just don't have to look at it, I don't have to use it.
Well, yeah, because anything between you and exercise, any little, even just moving a shirt, you're like, well, can't do it.
It's like, ah, shit, I'll do it later. That means I've got to do laundry and I've got to,
I've gone through a lot of phases in this of exercising. I'm in like a completely non, I barely do it now. I'll go on walks, but that's about it. And I told my boyfriend we're doing like, I was like, okay, we're doing a 25-day thing.
Walks gives you a chance to listen to audiobooks. What was your 25-day thing? Sorry, you cut out.
I said like, you know, let's do like a workout challenge like for December. So I don't know. We'll fucking see if that happens. It'll probably last like 2 days, but you know, we'll try.
Me and my boyfriend were like, oh, it'd be funny to see if one of us could get abs in December. And then I bought him an extra pumpkin pie to take home with him for Thanksgiving. And I was like,
dirty.
Good luck, motherfucker.
Are you guys competitive?
So hard to get.
I mean, a little. We're like a little bit not competitive. We're just both like, we both got out of really long term relationships and are like, okay, let's like really like focus on like trying to be the best versions of ourselves now. So it's like it's like a supportive thing more than anything else. But it's like fun to kind of like fuck with them a little bit with it too.
That's a good place to be. Good. I think.
Yeah, it's nice.
Garrett and I are saying, I always say that we're the same guy because I find us, you know, we're both in boxer shorts, watching TV. I'm not scratching my balls or anything, but we're both watching TV in boxer shorts. And I was like, damn. But I mean, we've been together for 7 years, so that's part of it too. So it's like, well, I guess we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. The goal is to be able to turn into the same guy with someone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny. Rick doesn't own sweatpants because he does. He has one pair of sweat like material pants, but they look like office pants. But they're so they have like a zipper and stuff. They're like his like lounging pant because he like
he wears zippers when he's lounging.
Yeah. They're not leggings. They look like work pants, but they're like his like they're made of a sweatpant material. But it's the only ones that he has or anything.
Brandy,
like
I
a
feel like you're dating a never nude.
No, he's very nude often, but he doesn't like sweatpants. Make him feel like he grew up in kind of a chaotic environment, and like sweatpants like really make him feel like he's back there. So he like really like being put together is like very important to him.
I definitely have been trying. I'm wearing actual jeans right now, which is a feat. I'm trying to like actually put on clothes more often because just so easy.
Yeah.
But I also just bought
really
two sweatsuits. Yeah.
Ladies, I have the best thing for this. I wear a lot of these maxi dresses.
Oh, yeah.
They're like long dresses because then it's basically like a nightgown, but it actually looks like you're being fancy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
You have to understand this is a tall person thing, Tess. Those things look like shit on me.
Do they?
No. Yeah. A maxi dress on like a short, curvy girl, it's not a good combo.
Yeah.
You have to have the longness like to like pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's any help, I can't wear high heels.
Wait, how tall are you, Tess?
5'11". How tall are you?
I'm 5'9". So I'm not that tall, but
you feel taller.
I wish I was taller. You know, yeah. You guys know about your ape factor. This is like my favorite thing. It's called ape factor or ape index. You're supposed to be as tall as your wingspan from middle finger to the other tip of your middle finger.
Ooh,
and mine is 6 feet, the same as Michael Phelps.
Cool.
I know. So I should be a rock climber or a swimmer, but instead I'm just somebody with really long arms.
Oh, man.
I'm 5'9", and so I should be 6 feet.
Wow, so like that's wild. I've never done that.
I think that's why I'm so clumsy. I should either be taller or a lot shorter. I don't know.
You got an extra three.
Yeah, you got those extra inches.
Yeah.
But have you heard of it? Because, you know, the diagram, the Da Vinci diagram?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they have the arms up and that thing. That's where that comes from. Like, that your height should be the same as your wingspan.
Oh.
I need to measure that, but I will say this. I had to get new running shoes. This is so embarrassing, and I'm just going to say it to you guys for free. I had to get new running shoes last week. The lady measured my feet and said, "Oh, wow."
Oh, no.
No. That's awful.
But here's why she said, "Oh, wow," you guys. I'm just going to be honest. My feet are two different sizes.
Mine are two. Okay.
A whole size different?
No, half.
I'm a whole size different.
Wow.
And my right foot is a 10 and a half. Guess what my left foot is?
11? 11 and a half?
I have an 11 and a half left foot.
Whoa.
Oh my God. I was hoping it would be smaller.
All I can say is to this test is wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I couldn't even blame her. Like,
no, she was correct.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So now, Tess, you've got to buy two pairs of shoes every time?
I think so. I think my whole life I've just been wearing shoes that are too small for me. And I, you know, my feet are a wreck as it is. So it's like, whatever. If they get a little puffy or blistery or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, what are you going to do? Do you buy the bigger pair?
I've always bought 11s, or sometimes I even squeeze my feet into a 10. But I mean, 11 and a half. Your only option is men's shoes.
Oh, like, yeah, they don't make that size, right? Yeah. In women's shoes?
No. Is that true?
It's true.
I mean, because girls are so much bigger now and taller and everything. They make size 12 and 13?
You know what? I would, if there's someone I can write to about this, I don't know, Mr. Zappos or... But yeah, I mean, I knew I was in trouble in high school, because in high school, I got my shoes for like homecoming or one of my dances at like a drag queen store, because it was like hard for me to find fancy shoes in my size.
Yeah, damn.
So
you should see if you get one of those like penis pumps and put it on the toes of your 10 and a half foot and see if you can like get your toes a little bit longer to maybe at least that way you can buy the same, your feet will be the same size.
I guess I just hate to stop. Yeah, and that's my one like kind of normal size foot, you know. I hate to tear
right.
that down.
And you don't want to take away that penis pump from someone who might need it, because I think that's specifically.
I have a question about the penis pump. Is it like a breast pump, or how does it?
I think so, but it's just like
Jesus,
tinier.
I hope not. That would be fucking disgusting.
I think it's just like elongated.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna go.
It's not pumping anything out. It's just making it bigger, right?
Okay. Oh, so it squeezes the oxygen out of it or something.
Yeah, I think it just gets all the blood rushing there so that it gets as big as possible.
But it's not like a pocket pussy.
No, it's like they work.
Unless you come in it, I guess. I guess it can be.
I think they work like they work temporarily. I'm looking at healthline.com. I looked it up. So
yeah, it's just to get as much blood there as you can so you can engorge. It's an engorging tool.
It's homeopathic Viagra.
Well, so this week's episode is called Engorging Tool. So Megan, don't do that.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be back in a second. Hey, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Laura. And we're going to do a lady problem. Let's get some advice, y'all. If you want to ask us a problem to talk about on air, send us an email at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Dear ladies, I've been ghosted many a time before, but never by a job. I didn't even know this was possible, and I would appreciate your advice. I applied for a fellowship with a very prestigious institution in my country. The man running it is one of the top experts in my field. I was literally jumping for joy when he informed me I'd been accepted. It would start out as unpaid, but eventually move into being a paid position. He told me it would be a bit for the details of a starting date, and this was fine. After all, there's a pandemic raging around the world. A week and a half passed by, and I emailed to inquire about the details. No response. In the meantime, he adds me on Facebook. I accept and see he's liked some of my photos. He also posts quite regularly, so after 2 weeks of no response to my email, I private message him on Facebook, and again, no response. I tried calling the office, but the number was not working and no contact information was listed except the email I already had. A month or so after the acceptance, I sent a last-ditch email asking if the fellowship was actually happening. He finally responded it was. We had a wonderful conversation on the phone. I told him I'd get him an outline for a report I wanted to write. I figured this was finally happening. Psych. I sent the outline and no response. A week or so passes and I just write the report because why not? It's been almost 3 weeks since I've sent in a full report with no answer. How can I be ghosted for a job? I was so excited to find something in a highly competitive field, especially when job hunting is made even harder by current events. This would have been great for my resume, but alas. Do I put this man on blast? Do I just not say anything and move on? Help. Thank you, ladies. Liv. Oh my God, that's, what the fuck do you do?
First of all, the question is too long.
She did say, she said, I'm sorry, it's long.
She did apologize.
As a person with ADHD,
It's a lot. So basically, she's being ghosted by this place where they said she has a job and she doesn't know what the hell to do.
I mean,
I wonder if there's anyone else she could ask, if there's somebody else there at the company that she could talk to.
Yeah, maybe try LinkedIn and see if there's any other.
Yeah, people? See if there's like someone else you could be reaching out to. Is there HR of some kind? Also, you wrote a report that you didn't have to, which, congratulations.
What does that mean? What is a report?
I mean,
sounds official.
You read a book and then you summarize it, I think. That's what I remember from school. I don't know. I feel like, just because people work at prestigious places doesn't mean they're not fucking idiots and disorganized. And this is probably like COVID is like, it's fucked up a lot of stuff and who knows like what they can figure out.
I will say that, you know, I think that something I've come to realize and also for myself is no matter how high up someone is, they can just like be bad at getting back to people, especially right now. You know, there's like emails where all of a sudden I'll wake up and be like, oh my God, I haven't responded to that. And that was sent 2 months ago. It's just, this sounds like a little bit different because you're bugging him and, you know, he's not getting back, but it could just be that he's really bad at responding, but do you want to work with someone like that?
Yeah. Yeah. If, has anybody else been CC'd on any of these emails that you could be following up with that? Maybe hey, is there somebody else I could talk to about like the coordinating of this instead? What you could do also in the middle of the night, you could like all of his photos.
That's good.
Yeah, that usually works, I think, of getting someone's attention if an email
doesn't. It's weird that he added her on Facebook and then makes me think he's being creepy.
He added her on Facebook and then did, after all this time, said that the fellowship was going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of feel like you have nothing to lose. I would just be really annoying. I mean, truly, like, email every other day at this point.
Yeah. That's true. You really have nothing to lose at this point.
I don't know. That's my own process. Like, I'll let someone ghost me for a while, and then I'm like, all right, I'm in nothing to lose mode. I'm just going to bug you until you're forced to respond to me.
Plus, she said she won't get paid until, you know, like in the beginning. So,
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if this does actually go through, I think right now you're in the unpaid part, whether or not. So I think when that actually starts, I think you should start getting paid because... Yeah. You know, what's the timeline of this supposed to look like?
Now, she did ask if she should put him on blast. I obviously don't know what exactly this field is or what that entails as far as like a tweet storm about like, hey, where the fuck is this person? What do you guys think about this option?
I would recommend against it. I don't know that that's going to serve you in any real constructive way.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think put it in writing anywhere, but I feel like, you know, there's nothing wrong with being like honest in conversation with colleagues that you like and trust about this person.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, without knowing like what her specific field is, I mean, if there's anything comparable to this fellowship, I would just start exploring those options. Like, I would just plan on taking yourself elsewhere.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I mean, seem like- and fortunately, it sounds like something where you kind of have to treat it as though it's not happening. I would keep bugging him, but you probably have to move on. Like, you know, like if this was somebody, if this was a romantic situation, you'd be like, all right,
time to move on.
Yeah.
Put it on your resume. Fuck him.
Uh-huh. I totally agree. You wrote the report.
Yeah, you did a report. So I think put that report in your cover letter and put it all on your resume. I don't
know. Yeah, because you also know that if they try to follow up, he's not going to get back to them. So
yeah.
And he also said yes to the fellowship. So,
so you got it.
Well, I've got a fellowship at blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great solution. So you win. You didn't have to do the full fellowship and you still get to put it on your resume.
I mean, it sounds like it's probably a, you know, small world, like all kind of fields are. Yeah. So even if it gets back to the guy, I mean, hey, he'll probably have to respond to you. So
yeah, be like, well, be like, well, you didn't tell me what the fellowship entailed, so I did something for it, therefore I did it.
I, for all I know, I did the whole fellowship. The fellowship was me writing this report to no response. Boom.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, don't. No, I think a good lesson just for any business is like, don't wait for somebody higher up to like respond to you before you continue pushing yourself, because like they're all, you're gonna be the only person that is gonna like, you know, work the hardest for yourself, and like who knows what their agenda is and what they've got going on. And if you just sit and wait for somebody to actually like, you know, work for you as hard as you're gonna do for yourself, it'll never happen. So
I like to say, keep your venues of rejection open. Have several.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. You want to spread out like a starburst and get rejected in every direction.
That's what I do. I'm waiting on three things right now that probably aren't going to happen, but they're, you know.
Yeah, but hey.
That makes me feel flexible.
I think that's the key to living in Los Angeles, is you've got to get comfortable waiting on three things that are not going to happen.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe look up, I don't know if it's a way, if there's a way for you to look up to see who's gotten this fellowship before and see if you could like follow up with them to see if like, I don't know.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah. And that, at least maybe that person could verify that this other guy is kind of a flake or.
Yeah. If nothing else, you can talk shit about this guy with somebody. So.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Yeah. I think that would be fun. but, you know, let us know. I hope you got this, and it says that sounds like this was like a big deal to get. So you can probably get something else. I mean, I hate, like, it sucks to like have worked hard.
Oh my God. That sucks so much to get it. Cause like we said, it's so. We're so used to rejection. We built ourselves up so much that like when you actually get a thing, it's just like, that's what sucks about this is, you know, it really jades you because you're like, oh, okay. So I just can't get excited about anything ever. Cool. Great.
Yeah.
Good to know. Right. I was just looking at Sundance cause they're doing it all online this year. And Tess and I went last year and I'm like, oh man, great. It's,
what did you think of it?
It was so fun.
I mean, so much fun.
Yeah. We did Molly at a party that Steve Buscemi was at, and we met Lin-Manuel. It was a great night.
That's amazing. That sounds like a blast. Wow.
It was fun. And I used to go all the time because I lived in Salt Lake, so I just went as a, you know, like a local or whatever. But, I mean, just so much fun. And, yeah, just so invigorating, like so much like just watching all these, you know, films and stuff you're never going to be able to see anywhere else, and just a really, really exciting time. And I was like, oh, it's so sad that this is online. Like, it's just going to be so, it's not the same when you're like huddled together in, you know, out of the cold, and you just see fucking, I was going to say, oh my God, I can't think of a famous person. Joe Pesci? I don't know. That was the first person I could think of.
Indie darling Joe Pesci.
Well, it is Sundance, so nothing's really indie.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, are you guys watching Endeavor by any chance?
No, is it good?
What's that? I love it. It's on PBS, and this an actor in it, his name is Anton Lesser, is so phenomenal, and he's one of these actors that is a chameleon, because I didn't know, I'd been watching him in Game of Thrones and all these other things, and so I feel like he needs to be awarded because he's truly great. But, and the lead actor is amazing too, Sean Evans. But it's a kind of a murder mystery series, but it's English, so.
Ooh, it sounds great.
Cool. Ooh, yeah.
It's shot in Oxford and it looks so beautiful there too. It's like kind of like a good
I love
escape,
when you start getting into British TV and you just recognize the same, start seeing the same people and everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's, but it can't be as awful as, can you imagine watching American TV and all you see is The Rock in every fucking thing?
Yeah, pretty over it. That's amazing. I'm rewatching Battlestar Galactica right now. And it's
The
crazy.
Rock in that? He'd be so good in that.
No,
he seems like he would be. He's not.
But there's like a ton of actors that you don't, like, you, this was like their first start thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to see them as like little babies and like where they go to now. And it's like, man.
Just like watching Law and Order SVU, and you're like, I know so many comedians who've played dead bodies.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly. Awesome. How'd you book that corpse?
Yeah. Well, that's our show. Thank you so much, Laura, for being on with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And we should mention, Laura has been directing documentaries, features, and shorts, and you can find all of her stuff on, it's laurakeitlinger.com, right?
Just laurakeitlinger.com, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank
and
you.
Follow her on Twitter at King Keitlinger. And you can find all of our stuff all over the place. And go to patreon.com/ladytolady if you want to hear the top secret session or any of our other fun stuff that we do over there. And one more plug. We talked about it at the beginning of the show, but we are doing a holiday Zoom party next Sunday, the 6th at 6 p.m. It's going to be super fun. We're going to have Naomi Epkerrigan doing stand-up. We've got Aaron Lampart. We've got Ryan Nemeth coming on with us. So buy tickets at tinyurl.com/L2L holiday party. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Come hang out with us. It's super. These shows have been such a blast. So, you know, you guys make them really fun and we love seeing you.
Oh, yeah. They're a good time.
Yeah.
And thanks again, Laura. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as $1 a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcast, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.